I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You are listening to Preconceived, where we examine the preconceptions that shape how we view the world and the paradigms by which we live our lives.
Hey everybody, I'm Zale Mednick, and welcome to another episode of Preconceived. COVID-19 has changed the business landscape in many ways. With many employees having worked remotely for almost 2 years, a certain independence and freedom came alongside that as well. But for as much as companies are progressing and becoming more flexible, a general business structure still exists at most companies. A boss, employees at various levels, and a hierarchy in which it's clear to whom one is accountable. There are set work hours, vacation arrangements, bonus structures. But is the status quo of how a business operates truly the best way for it to function? Management 3.0 is a company that is redefining the definition of leadership, with management as a group responsibility. The company challenges the status quo of how businesses can operate by endorsing a much more horizontal and flexible structure. I'm joined today by Katarina William, a spokesperson and facilitator at Management 3.0. Katarina, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I was just talking a little bit about the traditional paradigm of what a business model looks like and how Management 3.0 is challenging that. And it's a particularly relevant conversation, especially as we've seen business models start to pivot a little bit over COVID. What is Management 3.0 to begin?
Yeah. Well, I think you have to differentiate between two things. On the one hand, Management 3.0 is the mindset about management being a group responsibility and an ever-evolving set of practices, tools based on a book by Jürgen Apelo. On the other hand, Management 3.0 is a company built on these principles that we are proclaiming and that offers signature content and workshops around Agile. And also we license facilitators to offer these kind of workshops. So they are Management 3.0 workshops. And additionally, we are building a conference or event brand called Forward, which we organize leadership conferences and events like our Forward virtual 2-day conference, which just takes place in December usually.
So Management 3.0, it's a philosophy about how corporations can operate a little bit differently, but it's also, it's a company which is kind of endorsing that philosophy and helping spread that message via conferences and via different facilitators who are learning about that philosophy and then spreading it.
Exactly. We have around 500 facilitators worldwide, and they are doing these kind of workshops.
And what's interesting about speaking with you is that you can speak to that philosophy, but Management 3.0 as a company also operates under that philosophy.
Exactly.
So a lot of things we're going to talk about, you actually have experienced firsthand.
Yes, exactly. And it's very exciting, actually.
So when we're talking about shifting the way we look at management and leadership, what are some of the biggest things that are some of the deficits that we can be improving when we look at the traditional business that Management 3.0 is challenging?
Yeah. So usually when you talk about leadership or management, it's focused on a person. You have the manager, the leader, who is doing certain things with his employees. Management 3.0 challenges this view because we are saying, hey, it's not about one person. Leadership is way too important to leave it to just one person in a team. So we want to distribute the different tasks that are connected to leadership within the team. And Management 3.0 as a company is operating exactly that way. We don't have managers, or we could say we are all managers, which is pretty unusual. So that's the basic of the whole thing. And the other basic principle is we are not talking about managing. We are talking about managing the system in which the people are working, because we believe that this is way more powerful and it will give maybe more motivation to the people, more performance, more adaptability, more agility.
So logistically, how does that work? It sounds like there is no necessarily one boss or there's no managers. How does that logistically work if you're not necessarily having one leader or somebody that you at least are directly reporting to? Because most people probably can't fathom the idea of not having a traditional boss.
So for the outside world, let's say for the Chamber of Commerce, I'm the boss. I'm the director of that company right now. But for the team, I'm just a team member. So of course, we do have some legal constraints. We do have somebody to sign. That's one thing. But then within the management part, within the company itself, it's basically we have distributed the tasks and we all have them. So my voice within the team didn't change after I become CEO. It's just like we have certain rules. And one of the principles of Management 3.0 is we have what it's called delegation levels and a delegation board. So we know for certain areas, for example, the easiest one is who can decide how much money we spend. So we have a budget of 500 euros because we're a European-based company, so it's euros, that every team member can decide by themselves per month. Doesn't matter. Of course, usually we talk about it, but still, they can decide it. And then if it's more, then we decide in the team. And we know for all of these different areas who can decide and what kind of freedom do we have for ourselves and when do we have to talk about it. So basically, if you look at our daily work to work, we are working asynchronously and remotely. We are a remote only company and we don't have headquarters. And we're working through Slack most of the time. So we have a very working out loud manner. We talk about what we're doing right now and we know if it's impacting the others, then we have to be transparent about it. So basically, it's a lot of communication, but we do have our rules about it and it's working perfectly fine, as long as the responsibilities are distributed. If you have open things, of course, then things can slack off. And that's where somebody has to point the finger at it and say, hey, well, we're not having somebody driving that. So we need to decide what we have to do with it. So yeah, it's a constant evolvement of our business.
And who delegates that responsibility, though? Is there one person that kind of is at the top of that, even though responsibilities are delegated and then everybody has their own independence?
No, actually not. So, and that's a good point, because first we had this delegation board, and that's what we usually also teach in our workshops. But that requires, as you just said, somebody who is delegating that power. Well, but we don't have that. So what we did, we evolved that practice and we have a team decision board. So actually, we just talk about it in the team. Somebody brings it up and it can be brought up by whoever is there in the team. And then we talk about who's taking responsibility, who's making decisions. It might have been different in the beginning. Like, and that's the way how Management 3.0 was evolving when it was founded. But then, of course, as a founder, you have different responsibilities. So that was why we first set a delegation board. But now it's completely, nobody says, well, I delegate that to you. That's not possible.
So is the founder still involved in a leadership capacity, or is it totally, has that power, quote unquote, totally been transferred to all the employees, and there really is no one person who maybe, I don't want to say cares more about the company, but in a sense does, because when you have a company, there's an owner, and that's the person that might care most about the company because they care about the bottom line and they're profiting. Whereas when you have a bunch of employees, how do you keep employees motivated if they're not necessarily as directly influenced by that bottom line?
So there are different points in here. First, the legal structure, and then also the motivation aspect. I would like to address the latter first. So if all of us are responsibility and have that transparency about our business and the, well, the revenue that is coming in right now and the expenses that we have, we do feel all responsible for the success of the company. In the end, we like to work for them, and they're, it's paying us money. So if we mess it up, we mess up our own job. So we are taking that responsibility seriously. And we can talk in a later stage about how you actually achieve that. But that's the one point. The other point is the legal structure. So we do have co-owners, and we do have one major co-owner who we are reporting to, and we are discussing figures. So, but basically we are aligning on our goals, on the very big goals, but what we do within those goals, it's all for us to decide. And we do also inform, of course, other stakeholders, and we are trying to get the inputs, and also still a co-owner, but not the major one. But he is like holder of the foundation that has those certificates of ownership. So he represents the co-owners in a way, and we sometimes discuss about things, but basically all the deciding structure, everything, the day-to-day business, everything is all in the hands of the team members of Management 3.0.
That makes sense. So let's get to the point where somebody isn't doing their job well, and it's pretty obvious that somebody isn't fulfilling their obligations, and maybe they would work better in a situation where they are motivated by having a boss who's kind of watching over them a little more carefully. How does the team address that? If there isn't necessarily one person at the top, but somebody needs to be let go or fired, or let's say we've passed the point of having discussions with them on a group level, how would that happen? Because there must be situations in not just Management 3.0, but in any company where somebody's sloughing off a little bit, and it gets to the point where everybody's kind of thinking, we need to take a next step.
So first thing about it, this is prevention. Like with everything, you prevent things by hiring the right people. You hire for attitude, not for us particularly. So that's the first thing we do. Like the people that we hire are usually very intrinsic motivated. They are absolutely behind the mission of Management 3.0. And this is intrinsic. So we are not in favor of extrinsic motivators, because then you need a boss. You need somebody who is doing this, who is like kind of controlling if those extrinsic motivators like salary, not basic salary should be there, but like money, extra money and everything is there, or punishments. So this is the first thing. The second thing is regular. We do have different feedback practices to see that we do have a view or the right perspective, what others are thinking about our work. That's another thing. So, but still, could happen that we are not completely satisfied with somebody. And then we would ask for another feedback meeting to address those points, because, well, sometimes there are reasons for this kind of behavior. And sometimes it makes sense, and we need to do something on the context, because every behavior makes sense in this context. So we have to look at the context. And if that still doesn't work, and actually it was never within the time that I'm working for Management 3.0. But of course, I know the stories. Then the team decides.
And when you say the team decides, would that be something where it's democratic? Like everybody has their own vote on that?
Well, except the one who's getting letting go. No, everybody has to agree on it. It's the same like with hiring people. With hiring people, we also all have to agree on the person that we want to hire. And with firing, it's the same. But basically, there was this situation where one person said, I cannot work with you anymore, to another, and it's either you or me. So, and kind of escalated quickly.
quite the ultimatum.
Yeah, there was an ultimatum. And for whatever reasons, but it was escalating. And then, of course, both had to kind of leave the room and the others were talking about it and they decided what to do. But everybody has to be behind this decision.
And in terms of somebody bringing it forward, it could be anybody, I imagine, any employee of Management 3.0 or in the companies that you're helping in with this philosophy. Anybody could come forward and say, I'm not really happy with the way this person's operating. I'd like to talk about it. Obviously, there is no boss. So it's not somebody at the top saying it. It can be anybody who has that power, again, quote unquote, to say, let's talk about this particular performance.
Yeah, it's the right of everybody, but it's also responsibility of everybody.
Better words than power. I like that.
Yeah. No, it's like if you see that something is harming the business, then it's your responsibility as a team member to challenge this.
Is it challenging sometimes making decisions? Because when everyone is in charge, so to speak, sometimes it can maybe feel like nobody's in charge in certain situations. Is there a risk that when you're in this flat business model, that decisions can maybe be pushed off because it's not as easy as one person just saying, yep, I'm going to be quite definitive and decisive here. This is the decision. You know that when a decision needs to be made, it's going to be a fairly long process. And even though you can get stuck behind some red tape.
Yes, but let me ask you this. Is every decision quickly made in a company where only one person can decide?
No.
So in this case, and if you are a very micromanager or if you are a very strict manager, people will not push you to make the decision. So it will be even longer until the decision is made. This is why so many managers become a bottleneck in decision making and why it's often like slower in those kind of companies than it is in companies like Management 3.0. Because in Management 3.0 or companies that work on based on these principles, it's very important that everybody has the psychological safety to push for those decisions. So you have more people who will potentially do that. And of course, we do also have sometimes like if it's getting really busy. Yeah, we have lots of projects. Everybody has their projects and something new comes up. And then, of course, it might happen that we are all saying, well, it's not really my part of the business. So I'm not feeling comfortable making a decision here. But yeah, we're working around this. Sometimes we have to address that and trying to find ways to push it further. So we're doing this with different kind of systems, like with Trello cards that we always discuss in our team meetings. If we see that something is still open. Yeah, of course, every company has this kind of problem that sometimes decisions...
I like the way you questioned that back to me. I guess if you're in a traditional business model and you've gotten a really efficient boss who's decisive and is a go-getter and makes decisions, then you might not run into that problem. Not to mention you might not agree with those decisions, but you might not run into that problem. But in a lot of corporate situations, you might not have a boss who is pushing an agenda or being as quick to make decisions as they could be. Whereas here you've got every employee has the opportunity to say, listen, we got to get moving on this and they can bring it forward. So you're not as reliant on one person.
Exactly.
We talked a little bit about motivation before, but I know that there's an interesting model that you have in your company in terms of the bonus structure, which is a way to motivate people. Can you describe what that is?
Yes. But first, let me say, it's great. It's a nice thing to have, but it's not the main motivator.
I realized after I said that. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So because if your times get tough, there are no bonuses. But that's when you need motivation. right? So that's the first, but still, it's a nice thing to have. And of course, we appreciate it. So let me explain what we have. We're working with a tool called, so basically every team member has 100 points each month. And they can give those points to their colleagues, not to themselves, just to their colleagues, for any kind of behavior they want to appreciate. So, for example, another team member helped me with a form that was in Dutch. I'm not really speaking Dutch, and I had to fill it out. And he was helping me because he speaks the language. So I can give him 5 points for that in this tool. And I would say, hey, plus 5 points for my team member, Mark, for helping me out. And then I will also say, well, this is related to the value collaboration or proactivity or something like this. So we are also always connecting it to our values that we have. And this makes actually a quite a nice thing, because then you give all the 100 points to your colleagues. You give feedback in the same time. And in the end, the points are collected. You have this kind of hierarchy or points that you have personally. And when we pay out the bonus, we pay it out in relating to that points that we achieved. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you did a lot of great things for everybody else and they gave you most of the points, you will get the biggest chunk of the bonus money mm-hmm. in the end. So that's actually... it's a quite nice thing, but as
very,
I said,
very different from the typical way bonuses are given out.
It is.
Do you find that, and I know that you all work remotely, but I'm sure friendships develop. Is there, some people might be thinking, well, I would maybe just, this is, I'm being very negative in my judgment of society, but I'm sure there's situations where people might be making deals or just natural inclination to give it to people you're friends with or closer with. How do you avoid that kind of situation? Because a lot of trust comes into play if you're handing that over to all the employees and saying, you've got 100 points, give them to who you think you deserve it. You hope people actually hand those points out based on merit.
Yeah. But thank you for asking that, because I always hear this argument. It's funny. I always hear this argument. So thank you for asking it. Well, you know, all these points, they're transparent. So if I log into Bonusly, I see all the points that people are giving each other. And it kind of comes strangely if I see that, for example, my colleague Nadine and we are always giving our points to each other. And also for very strange things, you know, like, because we have to say what these points are for. Yeah. So that's funny if she always helps me out with my some mystical questions or something. So transparency is actually the key in any kind of remote situation and in any kind of, these kind of tools. You need transparency about it.
Yeah.
So it's not happening. Let's put it like this. In our company, I do see that point, but if you are transparent about it, I don't think it will really happen, because people are questioning each other.
During COVID, we've seen a shift, obviously, to people working at home, and how much that will persist as time goes on is yet to be seen. But your company, Management 3.0, which was existing before COVID, as you said before, you all work remotely as it is. How do, is there a particular way work hours function? Are you expected to clock a certain number of hours, or is it very much just get your job done on your own time, especially because none of you are, or you're not all even in the same time zone?
Exactly. So we cannot have core working hours, or we don't have them. And it's good, because our clients are also all over the world. So we don't have specific working hours. What we have is so-called commitment levels. So you could say that one commitment level equals to 1 day working per week in a month. So if you're in a commitment level one in a month, then you would work 1 day a week. But we all don't work just Monday. We would spread it over the week. And usually we have at least commitment levels, because otherwise it's just not working. It's too much. And it's very much trust-based. Of course, we have some kind of calculation. One working day equals more or less 8 hours. Let's say it puts it like this, and this is spread over. But we are not clocking. I did that in the beginning just to have a feeling for myself, but I never was sharing that with anybody else because nobody would ask. And of course, we see if people are online on Slack, if they answer to our questions when we say something on Slack, how they are getting the work done. So if somebody is on a commitment level 5, basically all the time working, but it's never reachable, well, we would kind of question that. So this is how it works. It's on trust and being transparent. Also, we can switch. So for example, if I'm usually on a commitment level 3 and I say, well, but now I have all these events going on or so much work, I will go to 4. I would say that in Slack in one of our channels. I would say, anybody has objections? And people say, no, if you say you go to this and this thing or event and you have so much to do, okay. And if they don't believe me, well, of course, I would say something.
And how does vacation work? Is vacation just an extension of that, or is there no formal vacation? You just get your work done before you decide to take some time off?
Yeah. Well, there's one important thing we have to know about our company. We are working as freelancers. So we're basically working, getting the money for the work that we are doing. So there is no formal vacation time. We can always take vacation if we want to, but that means we go down with our commitment level. Of course, we can, in a way, pre-produce, and then we can say, well, I'm just going down 0.5 commitment level because I already did so much before.
You're saying that all the employees that work at Management 3.0 are freelancers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whereas some companies who are adopting the philosophies of Management 3.0, they might not be freelancers. Many of them might be regular employees.
Yeah. So they would have to have some formal vacation times, of course. So that could, you could say, basically, if you want to work on commitment levels, very trust-based, we would say, okay, you can take 2, 3, 4 weeks vacation, and this is calculated in the commitment level. That's okay. But of course, that is really questioning a lot of, well, established rules. So especially, like, I come from Germany, which has very tight rules on working hours. And it's to protect people. Yeah? It's to protect people. But sometimes I want to do 10 or 12 hours a day, because then I have the next day free. Yeah, so this is the flexibility that is very important to me, but of course can be taken advantage of by certain companies that might not have the mindset of Management 3.0 or making workers happy. So yeah, this is kind of course, yeah, difficult thing to discuss in certain countries with legal requirements.
Mm-hmm. What strikes me as ironic chatting with you is that so much of the philosophy of Management 3.0 revolves around open communication and honesty and feedback, yet you're all remote. Can it be more challenging working remotely? Because while you know each other, you might not know each other as well as if you were all working in the same office every day. Would this work style maybe translate better to an office where there's certain ways to develop that trust level more? Or is it better that you're remote because you're not in an office, so nobody's actually watching you every day, so you have that independence where you can really just go with your own style? And I know there's a lot baked into that question.
There is. And again, I can challenge the non-remote working environments. If there is the atmosphere of you have to get your work done, and you are sitting in your cubicle and you have exactly 30 minutes lunch break, so you have to see that you shovel the food inside and not talk too much or whatever, then there's also not always the possibility of really getting to know each other in our workplace. So it's always the environment, and it's always the possibilities you give as the manager, if you have a manager, or the opportunities you create as a team. And I think that's a challenge that a lot of the companies now in COVID had. They just went to remote to their own homes and didn't really think about how can they create this water cooler thing. And really? People were just not really talking about that or thinking about this. And what we do is we do share our private things, so in different ways. And people are also different in how much they want to share. And that's personality. That's okay. So, for example, I'm somebody who's sharing a lot because I think that, well, for example, if I didn't sleep a lot last night because my kid was screaming the whole night, then maybe the others should know that because I might be a little bit on my nerves that day or I might not be fully concentrated. So I do share that. Others don't. And that's also perfectly all right. But we do have the atmosphere and the psychological shape, safety that it's possible to do that. So we have for example, we have a mood channel, what we call it, in Slack, and we post diffies there if something happens. If some, like, I don't know, a tool completely messed up our work, then you see some exploding heads there. So we do share those kind of things. And it's funny, but I really never met my other colleagues in person because of COVID. And I do feel very close to them, not to everybody, because I'm talking to people differently, but in general, I feel very safe there and very, very welcomed. And usually we do retreats twice a year. And I would always advise that to companies who are working remotely to do retreats once in a while, to see each other, to drink a soda or a beer or whatever you want to drink together, to have some fun, to experience things together, to make memories together. That's important. And that feeds off the people. I mean, I think that otherwise it will suffer. It's just business.
Yeah, it sounds like trust and the relationships and the communication are essential for this business model working. So that kind of communication and even meeting a couple times a year and being a little bit more open with people than you might is really critical to having this model work. How many people work at Management 3.0?
So right now we have 9 team members that are working in the team. We do work with 2 ex-team members, more on a freelance basis, extended team. And then we're working with the community of 500 facilitators who we also involve in projects, and we're doing the workshops. But the core team is 9 people right now.
Sorry, 9 or 90?
Nine.
So if you had a bigger company, let's say you had 100 people, do you think this business model can still work? Or does it get to the point where it becomes too impersonal because obviously you can't really develop connections with too many people and maybe you need a little bit more structure, so to speak?
You have to scale. So of course, that's also a question that we are getting. What happens? Don't you have to take decisions as CEO if there are more than 9 people? I don't think so. I think we have to scale because basically what we say, the ideal team size is up to 9 people. Afterwards, it will get more complicated with decisions and stuff. So my view would then be you have to think about other kinds of models, how to work with that. For example, you can have different teams in which you, for example, have the bonus system and the transparency and working out loud. And then the different teams have, I don't know, representatives that meet with each other to decide things that cannot be decided in the team itself, but have to be delegated up. So I think you can still manage without a manager. And I mean, Holacracy, for example, is going into that direction as well, or is that point. You of course have to adjust to what we are doing right now. But you can, I mean, the principles of Management 3.0 are used in all kinds of different companies and also traditional big corporations, not in the whole company, but in certain areas.
So when a business comes to Management 3.0, it sounds like it's a very flexible mindset. You wouldn't necessarily be saying, of course, to every company, you should totally switch to our business model, as you just said, because there are challenges when you're dealing with businesses of certain sizes. But are there ways of saying, yeah, sure, you can still have a boss, you can still maintain some of the corporate structure you have, but we're going to give you some pearls from our philosophy that you can adopt?
Yeah. So certainly most of the companies that are coming to well, actually to our facilitators, because they are doing the workshops, they do have hierarchical structures. And it's perfectly fine because the tools that we are having and that we are offering are also are for management, and leaders can just use them and have them the very next day. So for example, if you have kudo cards, something to make some appreciate behavior as well, you can have that in just one team first. And I would always advise to start in one team, if you go to a bigger corporation, to start in one team, experiment, teach the leaders about what they can do, help them to experiment and to share and see what works. So Management 3.0 is nothing to say, okay, you have to do it this way. This is the structure. This is the holy grail. No, it's a toolbox. It's, if you have that mindset, this agile mindset, then that you can distribute management tasks and that you take people seriously as humans and as responsible people and that can make decisions, then Management 3.0 gives you all the tools you need to slowly evolve. And it's all about experimenting.
I want to ask you a philosophical question.
Okay.
Some people, just human nature, people want to grow within jobs. And you spoke earlier about how it's not so much about the person, but it's about the task at hand. And it's about the goal of the company and working towards that. The reality is a lot of people want to grow. They want to advance to that next level. They want to make more money. They want a title beside their name. And they want to look and say every 5 years, I'm advancing. I'm becoming more important and vital to that. How does a philosophy like Management 3.0 adapt to that? Or does it just take a certain type of person with maybe less of an ego to buy into this philosophy?
No. I think, well, also people who like Management 3.0 might have big egos. I'm not saying that they cannot have that. But yeah, I totally get your point. So first of all, if you think about an agile leadership, you have usually roles instead of positions, right? So if I think now in our team, we also have different roles. And if I want to develop myself further, I can take on another role. That's one thing. So if you want to develop yourself further, of course you can do that with Management 3.0 principles. It's just about that not one other person is deciding this for you, but you as a team would decide more. You would discuss it and the team should stand behind this decision. That's the mindset in the end. So for example, we decide our own salaries, and there have been different models to do that because, well, you have people from Finland, you have people from India, should they get the same money? It's all a discussion. And we are not saying that the system that we have right now is the one and only system we will always stick with. It's something that is evolving. So also if you as a person want to evolve in a Management 3.0 company, that's fine. And I believe you should evolve. Otherwise you get stuck and that's not Management 3.0 mindset, but you would do it in a constant interaction with the team. Yeah. And it's not like my manager decides suddenly that you will be the next top performing high manager or something. Just if I look at myself, I started as facilitator happiness coach, which I'm still having as a role. It's my most important role, actually. But then I took another role, the part of the CEO. And you could say, okay, that's also evolving because now I do have other responsibilities. And it's fine. But it was, of course, a team decision.
So, Katarina, some people listening to this might say, this sounds really cool. Maybe it sounds a little bit like a utopia to some people, but they might say it sounds interesting, but it might be more challenging logistically than what we already know. What would you say to them in terms of why is the philosophy of Management 3.0 something that businesses should consider moving forward, as opposed to just sticking with the preconceived idea of a business, the status quo?
Because I think that a purely pyramid hierarchy scheme is not working in our very fast, and you always have that in all magazine VUCA world, in the volatile world. So management 3.0 or agile leadership basically just reacts quicker to challenges that come from the outside. And we need to think more innovative, and we need to also attract and hold our employees. I mean, it's not anymore that we have a huge huge force of people who are looking for jobs. It's more or less always looking the companies now for the right talent, right? So you need to attract your people. And for this, people need to be happy in their workspace. And Management 3.0 is all about making people happy in their work, while at the same time giving them the right freedom to perform better, to make better decisions, and to make quicker decisions, which is needed in our time. So for me, it's not a point about, is that a utopia? It's not. And it's also not an anarchy. It does have rules, but rules that are flexible and that are made by more people who are also standing behind them and willing to obey to those rules because they made them. So it's not so much forcing anymore.
Well, that notion of happiness is maybe the most important thing you said in terms of why is this a model people might veer towards. A lot of the things you're describing and have described over this conversation, people could very easily understand how that would lead to more happiness, more flexibility, more independence, more responsibility and ability to grow, more ability to communicate with your team and not feel like you're just another voice that nobody's listening to because you're lower on the totem pole. And those are things that could very well translate into more happiness for people.
Yeah. And this is part of our mission, creating happier workplaces and successful organizations. So I think still Management 3.0 is a future business model. Well, not only business model, it's a future mindset of agile leadership.
Katarina, where can people learn more about Management 3.0, or if they're interested in getting involved in some capacity with the company to learn more about the philosophy?
Yeah. So of course we have a website. It's www.management30.com which a very interesting blog with a lot of free materials. All leadership tools are actually free for download. So we really believe in distributing all of this. So that's the first thing. You get a lot of free content. The second thing, of course, you can book a workshop if you want to go a little bit deeper. And we have workshops all around the world and also remotely. So there's no excuse. And in all different kind of languages, by the way. So that's a point. And of course, also in our Forward Leadership Conference, it's not only about Management 3.0, but about many forward-thinking leadership models and thoughts. And well, this is in December for virtual and completely online, of course. And next year, then hopefully, COVID allows, in Berlin. But first, the first entry point is always our website. We do have a big newsletter where you always stay up to date as well with all the tools and upcoming things.
And I will put that information in the episode notes. Katarina William, thank you so, so much for taking this time to chat with me. It's a fascinating topic. It's a really interesting theory and mindset on business. And it really fits with this concept of preconceived, just challenging the status quo and how we do things. So thank you so, so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
And thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of Preconceived. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please rate and review us on whatever podcasting platform you use. That really helps with the show. Have a great day.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.